This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass wishes to acknowledge that we broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nation and the people of the Wurundjeri tribe, and this land was never ceded, no treaty has ever been signed, always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Well, when the sun goes down and the moon comes up,
Tuesday night, it is Joy 94.9. This is Triple Bypass on Joy. That was Goo Goo Muck by The Cramps, and this is Triple Bypass. My name's James.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Louis.
And Louis's back in the studio with us.
I'm back. I'm not crying and writing essays at the same time now.
Yay.
Which is good.
So we have, we have a lot to talk about tonight about, we're here to talk about bisexuality. Well, even more so to be bisexual on the radio.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people do that for some reason.
That's a really revolutionary idea, James.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about bisexuality, but we also just, you know, do it. Theory and practice. And that's what we're all about.
And we do it well.
Yeah. I'm into doing bisexuality. So someone who does bisexuality very well is, we have a very special guest on the show tonight. We've got Elise Nias in the studio with us. Elise is, their pronouns are she and they, and Elise is an intersex human who is actively involved in the queer community here in Melbourne. They're the Victorian representative of the AISSGA. I'll get Elise to tell us what that is. That's a national peer organisation, intersex organisation. She's a fabulous bisexual person also who is commonly found saturating in bars or hiding in online gaming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's almost like I wrote that myself. So self-gratuitous.
Such words coming out of your mouth, Anthony.
Elise, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much. You're
going to talk to us all about bisexuality and intersex. And we're in a very important time of year for intersex people, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. I think it's always a good time of year to be intersex,
right.
And in my case, bisexual. You know, it's, right. I think it's not a seasonal thing for me. I try to involve myself in that.
It doesn't wax
as much
and
as
wane
I can.
With the phases of the
moon. No, not at all. But I do enjoy worshiping the moon. I think that's a good practice, a very wholesome practice to be involved in.
So we're going to be talking more. We're going to be talking with Elise more later on in the show. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, talk to us about intersex or bisexuality or whatever you feel like chatting with us about, you can send us an SMS on 0427JOY949, that's 0427569949, or flick us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Get involved. If you want to catch our podcast, Lou, you are our podcaster. Where do they go?
You can find them on the Joy homepage or search us on iTunes or I think wherever else you can find podcasts.
Yep.
We are on there as well. And if I do say so myself, they're very good.
joy.org.au/triple bypass. So it's with an I, not a Y, because puns.
Now, by news, there's a bit going on. The last week, a little bit has happened. I want to send a shout out to the Sydney Bisexual Network people, to Bree and Amber and also Julie Taylor, who's been involved down there, who are doing some pretty amazing things on social media. There's a campaign that we're launching. It is the hashtag Be Seen campaign. We are trying to... We're a little bi-furious because of the 195 floats at Sydney Mardi Gras this year, not one of those floats had the word bisexual on them on their own.
Well, it is the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, I suppose.
Right? Right.
Speaking of bi-furious.
So we've missed out in a major way, and we feel like we're sort of growing stronger and stronger in the bi community on the queer scene, and we got missed.
Mm-hmm.
So get onto social media, get onto Twitter on the Bi Plus Visibility hashtag. It's on Facebook and Instagram.
So Be Seen. That's hashtag BSEEN. So capital B Seen. And just check out the hashtag just to see lots of cool selfies of people being all visibly out and proud by.
Yes, and it's hashtag we see you for our allies. So get on there, take a selfie.
Yes, and in other, well, multi-gender attracted news, if we don't want to be too specific about it, the Bohemian Rhapsody film has finally hit the cinemas.
Yes.
And it's getting some... mixed reviews.
I believe, Anthony, you are the only one here who has currently seen it. Do you have any initial thoughts, reviews?
I had booked my gold class ticket for this for a while. I had my buy flag. I was sitting in the worst seat in the room on the front row on the far right. And
are there any really bad seats at gold class?
Well, okay, yeah, I'm
it's in the bad seat. I had the bad champagne and the bad chocolates. It was awful.
They brought me the wrong flavor chop top. It was terrible.
Outrageous.
Woe is me, my life, right?
The butler made eye contact.
Well, speaking of the butler, I mean, Freddie does grab a butler's ass in the film, but I've just got to say, I don't want to ruin it for people, but the word bisexual does get used, and then there's a response to that word that is commonly the way people respond to the word bisexual. So check it out. That was the only thing that sort of annoyed me, but I did enjoy hearing the word. I almost jumped out of my chair.
One of the things that I've heard is that there's a queer love interest in the film who comes across as kind of predatory. I haven't seen it, but this is what I've been told by people who have. Did you feel that?
Yes, I think that there's someone. I don't know if that person ended up becoming Freddie's producer or a PA or someone who became the gatekeeper between Queen, the band, and Freddie when they had that break period. But yeah, there was. He had a pretty... the film depicts quite an interesting life and their sort of complicated relationship with the band, but a very strong one. They were still very interested in each other in a very sincere way as people who formed something special.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something we don't really see a lot of with, you know, bands nowadays when there's a whole lot more controversy surrounding breakups and departures from bands. And so, yeah, just their relationship is something that's very interesting to see, like, documented like that.
Right. So there's lots of Freddie stuff going on. There's lots of intersex stuff going on, Elise, and we're going to get to that definitely. But a lot of Freddie on the TV at the moment, isn't there? You saw a doco recently, Lou.
Yeah, we've all got Freddie on the mind. I think it might have been the early 2000s, mid-2000s. Probably getting that wrong, but there was another documentary about Freddie Mercury that SBS screened the other night, kind of in preparation for Bohemian Rhapsody's release. I think. And it was excellent, and there's a lot of really amazing footage and a lot of really powerful discussion in it, especially a really extended discussion about the AIDS crisis, which is quite refreshing to hear in a documentary made by straight people. But it does suffer from that same problem that we see in so many of these types of content, whereas they'll interchangeably use the word bisexual and gay, which is quite disappointing to just have that be a consistent theme throughout all of this media.
Or they'll just avoid using the word bi and make some sort of weird noise, or sort of something will happen in the sentence where something weird happens, right? Where they just stay away from saying anything.
Yeah,
they'll say either ambiguous or wild or. Like, bisexual is a word. It's in the dictionary. You
right,
you're allowed to use it. You won't burst into flames.
Okay. Yeah, get along to see the film. It was great. Now, Bi Life, James, is also happening at the moment. Courtney Act's Bi Life,
the new reality show. We've spoken a lot about it in previous weeks, but the first episode is actually aired, and I have not actually had a chance to see it yet. But I've been because I don't actually have a legal way to see it. You've seen it.
No,
you haven't?
No, forgive me.
I saw a hand go up. I thought that was a... I've seen it.
No, I would love to see it.
But our regular Ruby, who actually isn't in this week, has seen it and thought it was pretty good and is generally quite positive about it. Apparently, like, what we were sort of hoping that it wouldn't be exploitative and it wouldn't... You know, it wouldn't sort of do that nasty reality TV show thing where they sort of edit things to pit people against each other. Apparently, it's not doing any of that. It actually is quite nice and supportive and really sweet, and there are sort of weepy moments and laughy moments. And, yeah, it sounds really good. So I'm hoping that I get the chance to see it.
Yeah, same. I'm definitely hanging out for that one, at least when we all have legal ways to view it.
Do you have legal ways of watching it, Elise?
No, not at all. But I'm also a bastion of nerdiness, so I don't really, you know, I think the internet is subversive and subversive unto itself. So really, please. We've already crossed so many boundaries. My gosh.
What's one more?
Exactly. Yeah,
just put it on the tab.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to go to another song. Elise is actually our DJ. That first song, Goo Goo Muck by The Cramps, was one of their choices. And we're going to go to another one now, which is Wandering Star by Policia. Again, if you want to get into the conversation, send us a message while we're off listening to a song, tapping our feet. You can send us an SMS on 0427 569 949, or email us onair@joy.org.au. You can also tweet us or Facebook us, but we probably won't get back to you tonight because we're trying to do a radio show here and we can't check all our social media at the same time.
No, but we will check those messages. And if you want to ask Elise a question about a bisexuality or intersex, please do. And we'll be back shortly.
So here is Policia with Wandering Star. That was Wandering Star by Palicio. That was lovely. Thank
nice.
You. Thank you for selecting that, Elise.
My pleasure.
This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. My name is James.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Louis.
And I'm Elise.
Yay. We're talking to Elise Nias here about intersex and bisexuality. And just before we go to you, Elise, we have had a couple of messages during that song. Nick texts in and Nick says, how are we meant to enjoy this film, Bohemian Rhapsody, if our hosts can't even have a good gold class experience? Thank you, Nick.
It's outrageous, yes. I know.
Outrage.
And another tech message has come through from Callie. Callie's listening to the show and enjoying it with her son, Xavier, who just turned 7. So happy birthday to you, Xavier, and to Xavier's little brother, Brandon, who's 4. So hello to Xavier, Brandon, and Callie. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So, yes, Elise, who we're speaking to tonight, and I'll just read the bio again, shall I? An intersex human, which I think is just, that's just a great word, great wording to use, who's actively involved in the queer community in Melbourne, a Victorian representative of AISSGA, a national peer support intersex group, a bisexual who is commonly found saturating in bars or hiding in online gaming. So, yeah, bars and gaming, that's... Apart from Anthony with the gaming, Anthony doesn't do gaming.
I'm in the game alive. What does the acronym stand for, Elise?
Ah, cool. So it's the oldest kind of intersex peer-led organisation in Australia. It's Androgen Insensitivity Syndrome Support Group Australia. Mm. Yeah, a lot of wonderful terms in there. It was first set up, unfortunately, by a medical group. To offer a pathway for parents and intersex children to kind of wrangle with being intersex in a very medicalized, pathologized world. But it's kind of been hijacked by intersex advocates, which has been amazing. And so my role really is to bring intersex people together. We hold social meetings and kind of really allow people to find a safe place in their community if they can't find that, at least in their bodies, and find an intersex community.
Now, androgen insensitivity, I'm assuming AISSGA has a much broader scope
does.
Than that now, because androgen insensitivity is one specific type
it
of
is.
Intersex, isn't it?
It is. So
for those out there listening to this, can you just give a brief 101 on what intersex is?
Yeah, of course. So intersex is simply an umbrella term for about 40-plus variations of sexual development. And what that means is that intersex bodies and intersex people just simply don't fit biological, hormonal, or chromosomal norms for what we assume binary bodies should look like. And because of that, we face a lot of medicalized stigma and pathologization in the medical system. So for me, I've got partial androgen insensitivity syndrome, which just means I'm awesome. No.
A type of awesomeness.
Yeah, it is, exactly. Oh, very specific.
So I was born with it, what they say.
Exactly.
AIS actually stands for Awesome Intersex. Savior?
So, yes, I love it.
You can do it, James.
No, please, I'll take it.
You've got the joke.
So Elise, I'm asking very ignorant questions here because mm-hmm. I am largely on intersex. But what? So when we're talking about chromosomes, we're talking about genetics, we're talking about biology, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And of course, intersex exists as a biological certainty, and also does intersect with being an identity as well. But the kind of pressing issue, especially with human rights, is that at some point in an intersex person's life, whether it's birth, which is very common, or in adolescence or later in life, we will face very intense and unnecessary medical scrutiny. If I could dive into my story, if that's okay, to give you some sort of perspective. So when I was born, it was found that my body was very indeterminate. My body didn't fit into a binary, which is awesome, which is wonderful. It's just an expression of human diversity.
Binaries are overrated anyway.
Absolutely. Goodness me. And so when I was born, it was kind of pressed upon my parents, who, you know, were younger than me. I'm 28. They were in their early 20s when they had me, their first child. You know, beautiful working class people, not queer at all, had no concept of what someone's body could be outside of a binary in the first place. And so at 2 months of age, I had a gonadectomy. So they removed my testes. This is normally done under the premise that they will become cancerous later on in life. But this, of course, is a 0.01% chance, you know, during childhood, and it's not something that would ever really happen till later in life. And I also had... I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty. Is this okay?
Yes,
I'm
going to
do a bit of a trigger warning before I go into this, just because it is going to be quite graphic, but I think this needs to be said to our wonderful audience. So I had a vaginoplasty as well. So my body was irrevocably changed into this feminine aesthetic, which I kind of dally with. You know, it's good fun. Yeah, I think gender is really just a weapon for me now. It's just this fleshy carapace, which I enjoy sometimes.
Yeah. A fleshy carapace that you've weaponized.
Yes, I have, absolutely. Weaponized fleshy carapace. That's my gender.
That's not the title of your autobiography.
Yes, absolutely.
Also a really good band name.
Absolutely, please. Or Hostile Hermes.
Ooh.
Is my deal. That's kind of my punk name that I'm going to go for. So, yeah. Yeah, I was kind of put on this very binary trajectory at an early age because my testes were removed. My body, I was born without a uterus, and so I don't really produce estrogen and progesterone. But I was at the age of 11 was when I was really informed, you know, rudimentarily what my body was. And so I was put onto into hormone replacement therapy. And so we do have a lot of similarities with the beautiful trans people as well. Absolutely. And so we are kind of... But we're coerced or forced, really. We have this terrible model of social norms enforcing medical practices.
And it's an incredibly diverse community, isn't it? I mean, there are... What sort of the mainstream people might think of as a hermaphrodite? There are people who you know, physically, externally, you know, there are obvious visual mix of different,
absolutely,
of different sexes. But some of them are incredibly subtle, and like you can only detect them with like a blood test or something. Yep, yeah,
absolutely, or a karyotype test, which would determine someone's chromosomal makeup. And just a mention of hermaphrodite, we don't really use that term anymore.
Sorry, yeah.
No!
I know some people who try to reclaim it and other people who say it's offensive,
absolutely.
So it's one of those
absolutely.
Grey area ones.
Yeah, because it was the medical term used for a long time until, I think, the early mid-90s, when it was determined that a better alternative by medical people would be disorders of sexual development. Much
so
better.
I apologise if anybody listening was offended by my use of that word, I'll use it more carefully in future.
No, thank you for actually using it, because it gave me an opportunity to explain why.
Totally. Elise, so here you are, sort of as a baby born. You got, you're at the sort of mercy of all these doctors who are making all these decisions for you, and I'm assuming for your parents as well, who were really at their mercy as well. They're needing to be sort of have information passed on to them. These doctors in white coats who are the experts of your body and your life. At what point did you realize that this was, that you, how was this explained to you?
Not very well. It was just explained to me that, always explained in a binary, always explained that I just wasn't like other girls, which didn't fit with me at all at the time, which I didn't understand until I became really non-binary, which is fun. Anyway, and so it's just explained I wouldn't have my period. I had to go on this hormone replacement therapy to replicate some sort of normal puberty. I'm doing rabbit ears for the normal part, so for those listening can get the context.
Yeah, there's only one kind of puberty, right?
Absolutely.
The normal one. Yeah,
the normal one, absolutely. and it wasn't until... So my trajectory and my kind of involvement with the medical world was every six months after about the age of 11, I would go and see my endocrinologist. I was in Brisbane at the time, so I would go to the Royal Children's Hospital there. And they would examine my body. They would measure my height. They would weigh me. They would even, and trigger warning here, for a loss of bodily autonomy, they would ask me to take off my clothes. And they would determine if I was developing in a female way.
How old are you at this when you're saying this?
12.
Wow.
Until about 17. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds really awful.
It is very awful.
That must have been very confronting.
It was. But, you know, I got some really good poetry now. And, you know, enough.
Well, I'm just wondering, because intersex people I know there's multiple variations, but this was commonly practiced, and is it still practiced today that they treat people this way?
It is still practiced. I don't see any kind of medical structure anymore because, you know, I'm 18, I don't have to, and but The Age did a report in 2015. I'm probably getting that wrong, but we can fact check that later. That the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, which is where I had my original interventionist surgeries, still does around 10 to 13 of these surgeries, surgical interventions, a year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's very common. It's very clandestine. It's normally between parents and clinicians. It's normally done. We had another study done from the University of Sydney, I believe, in 2015, which did a survey of the intersex community who was available to do it, and it showed that these practices are still occurring.
Well, we're going to go and listen to another song and hear from some of our sponsors for a little while. If you'd like to have a chat, send some feedback to Elise, you know, some encouragement, some love, ask some questions or share your own experiences, please send us an SMS on 0427 569 949 or give us an email on air at joy.org.au. We're going to go listen to another song, Pop Crimes by Roland Howard, which is another of Elise's choices. So stick around for that and we'll be back soon. This is Triple Bypass on Joy.
verify that there's a single soul in hell. It's just a wasteland of adversity, devoid of all but the sound of wedding bells. From this vast expanse of nothing, nothing good will come of this. But the hole in the zero and an open heart surgery kiss. This was pop crime. It was pop crime. This was pop crime. It was a pop crime. It was a pop crime. This was a pop crime. That why you turned to stone? Or was that state reserved for me and me alone? Does the hissing of their coiled snakes desiccate your soul? This was a pop crime. 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 It was a pop crime.
Wow, that was an epic. That was Pop Crimes by Roland Howard, selected by our guest tonight, Elise Nywis. And this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. It's Tuesday night, and that means it's the night for the bisexuals and the pansexuals.
It's our time.
And the everybody else who just like, binaries suck. Let's not do the binaries.
So we've had a couple of messages come in during that the break. Lou?
Yes. So Jimmy from South Yarra is writing into us saying, thank you so much, Elise, for discussing intersex. It needs to happen more often at Joy. That's from Jimmy in South Yarra. Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Awesome. Thanks, Jimmy. Which is one of the reasons that we've invited Elise on the show is because intersex is such an important thing to talk about. So thanks for recognising that, Jimmy.
Yeah, and we've also got a message coming in saying, loving the honesty matched with the humour. Thanks, Elise. Much by love from Clario.
Aww. Thanks, Clario.
And thanks, Clario. And we had a message from Nick who is saying these are awesome songs, and whether or not he needs to keep signing off as Nick so we know who it is. Yes, Nick, we don't want to call you anonymous, so thank you.
Thanks, Anon.
And you can thank Elise specifically for the awesome music tonight. Some great tunes. You got a bit of a punk thing.
I do. I grew up in a really conservative Christian family, but my dad was a drummer, and so I kind of gravitated to music at a really young age. And, you know, going through, like, this medical system, I found this really cool irreverence in punk that I think I needed at the time. And so, yeah, music is a massive part of my life. Yeah. Massive part of
it. Punk really, at its heart, is a lot about breaking down conventions and saying, you know, the way that we've always done it just because it's the way that it's done.
Exactly.
You know, maybe there are better ways of doing things, which is pretty compatible with queerness and transness and intersectness.
Definitely. And I'm, like, normally a pretty wholesome person, so I like the juxtaposition of getting into punk music because I'm, like, the most boring person ever.
this is a bisexual show, of course. We're the bisexuals on the air talking about bisexuality. And you do identify as bisexual,
I
yes?
do. I really do. I didn't for a long time. I originally identified as pansexual because I thought bi was a binary. And I, you know, I was coming into being non-binary. I was coming into be multigendered attracted and finding out these really beautiful parts of myself. And I didn't think I could be bisexual. You know, I thought, okay, this is not for me. I can't exist in this space. And so I identified as pan. It wasn't until... Actually, I really met Ruby, who was one of the presenters on this show, and they really taught me about that bi is not just a binary. It's really, really inclusive. And by not identifying as bi, I'm kind of also adding to bi erasure as a bi person. Mm. And so I think I've really had to own that. And it's only been this year, really, that I've really jumped on board the bi train.
Yeah, and this idea that bisexuality is... I mean, Ruby likes to talk about the fact that there's a bisexual manifesto from, like, the 1980s, mm-hmm. I think, late 80s, early 90s, which specifically says it does not erase anyone who exists outside the gender binary, which is, it's really cool. Yeah. But unfortunately, that is an assumption that a lot of people make.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially in a world which deals, you know, almost exclusively in binary when, you know, around all the discourse surrounding gender and sexuality, like, even just personally reconciling... Mm. All of these things can be incredibly tough, and like so much love to everyone out there who has to deal with taking back all of these things that we have to accept for the norm because society says so.
Right.
So Elise, you've talked about some of the things you experienced as an intersex child and some of the stuff that doctors and things put you through. How do you think that affected you? Like what was your childhood and your teenage years like? Like the stuff that everybody does, like going to school or getting their first, you know, having their first sort of crush and their first relationships, going to university, getting a job. How did all that work out for you?
I had a pretty strange trajectory. I thought I was asexual for a long, long time, actually. I don't know if it was the hormones. I don't know what was going on. I don't think I had a safe place to really explore those elements. I was in a Christian world wholly and fully. I grew up in a Pentecostal family on the Gold Coast, which is a massive cliche. It's like the Florida of Australia.
Right.
And so I had no means. It wasn't until I had my first crush on this beautiful woman, who I hope is not listening to this show.
Fine, we can always send her the podcast.
Yeah, please don't. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And it kind of cascaded into really exploring that element of myself. And then I really found that my sexuality and the romantic part of myself was a beautiful way of de-traumatizing my body, was taking it out of a pathologizing worldview and saying, whoa, okay, my body is just a sack full of senses. You know, this carapace of dreams.
Because, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we've even done that tonight. We're talking in a supportive and positive way about intersex, but at the same time, when we're talking a lot about the biology of it and these sort of biological realities.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a personal experience as well, and you're a human being with human experience.
Definitely. And it wasn't... I don't think I could really embrace my intersex body until I really embraced my sexuality, because I just didn't know what to do with it. I just saw it as this stumbling block to experience. I saw it as just something I had to transcend. And so I tried to negate my body, I think, to the point of exclusion. I'm also a massive nerd. Been playing World of Warcraft for 10 years, so that's obviously abstinence unto itself. So, you know, it wasn't until my early 20s that I really started diving into that part of myself.
So what does that? What does this mean for your... Because I'm thinking about how the amazing activism that you do in the community and, but you know, and doing things to change the world as opposed to changing intersex people, which is what the medical model has been doing.
Absolutely.
What impact has that had on your family, your with your parents, with others?
I hope they're listening, and I hope they know I love them. But it is difficult sometimes because we don't speak often and about it, or they're still very, very in a Christian worldview, which I think they are more followers of Christ than in a more traditional Christian sense. But they're just not exposed to the life I live. They don't understand the queer community or me being queer. They just understand me in a very, very limited sense. And so it can get quite uncomfortable when I talk about partners I've had or experiences I've had or things I want to share with them. Can be quite harrowing for me. Yeah.
Would you say that there's still that kind of stigma surrounding those kind of conversations, especially when talking about intersex issues?
Definitely. And I think they filter my sexuality through being intersex. They view me as, because I'm a woman with XY chromosomes, that of course I'm going to be attracted to women. They view me through this kind of like biological determinism way, which for me is just another binary. And so I don't understand their worldview, but I know they love me. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about... outrage, actually. Mm. I'm thinking about outrage, and I'm not intersex. I haven't had my body violated and abused in medical violent ways. Where does outrage sit with the intersex, with you?
Very in the centre, because I'm not involved in a lot of advocacy like this. I'm more involved in peer support and giving people... like a free place to really experience that place of outrage, because we are silenced and erased in so many ways in our families. We don't find a place to speak about it in, you know, even in our friend circles most of the time. Peer support is so integral to really voice that rage, and that needs to happen. And some we can't simply just mitigate someone's feelings because we can't empathize with it.
So this is Triple Bypass on a Tuesday night on Joy. We're talking to Elise Niewis about bisexuality and intersex. Now, you're talking about this outrage. So the intersex community came together and really came together with one voice and put together a statement, which is called the Darlington Statement. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I would love to. So it's a very historic time and a very historic document. So last year over the Mardi Gras weekend, which was horrific, you know, I had a horrible time. About 30 of us from mainly Australia and New Zealand kind of finalised a draft, which will become the Darlington Statement. So it's about 50-plus points of human rights declarations that we want in our respective countries to happen. Australia's fairly unique in a way that it has intersex people written into anti-discrimination laws. But, of course, this does not actually affect medical practices whatsoever. So we're kind of given this pat on the back. You know, we're putting in anti-discrimination laws, but that doesn't reach into the medical world. And so the Darlington Statement has been integral in helping organisations and individuals understand what the intersex community really wants to happen for legislation, and also for human services, health, well-being, you know, education, that kind of stuff. So,
What are some of the core declarations in the document?
Definitely about self-determination and bodily autonomy, that intersex bodies and especially intersex children, their bodies should be not obstructed, and also that we really want an age of consent, that all non-necessary and cosmetic surgeries be deferred until to a place where an individual can give consent if those surgeries are desired by the individual.
I mean, because there are... In a small number of cases, there are some cases where intersex conditions can conceivably cause health problems. But that is a minority of
cases.
It's
a minority, absolutely. And most of the time, it's done under the pretense of a medical necessity. But most of the time, it's done to reassure parents that they have a normal child. And to
rabbit
yes.
Ears.
Yeah. Yeah, rabbit ears. Yeah.
Don't know if that translated.
No.
Over an audio medium.
Our listeners are very smart.
They are. I believe in them, absolutely.
Yeah, I think everyone heard those air quotes.
Yeah, good.
Because, I mean, it's terribly arrogant, isn't it? I mean, it's just this idea that as a doctor or as a parent, I mean, it's like, we know better than this.
Yeah,
we know what this child is going to grow up to be, you know, who they're going to believe themselves to be, who they're going to be attracted to, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
And like, make this irreversible decision.
That's right. I don't know if the doctors still employ the Oracle of Delphi, or they, you know, they cut out a goat, you know, check the auguries or something, pray to Zeus. I don't know what they do. Or
the magic eight ball.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's like prophecy entering into a medical world. And the self-determination of the individual is not even considered. And these practices, especially when they're trying to conform someone's body to be more female, air quotes again, it's very misogynistic and harmful. Normally, these surgeries can eliminate sensation, so sexual feeling can be erased. And I'm going to get gory again, once again, please forgive me. So trigger warning, vaginas are created simply for a penis to be in there.
Yeah.
And so you're eliminating someone's ability to have sexual pleasure, and
this is the sort of thing that an intersex or transgender person, as an adult, may choose to undergo. Like,
exactly.
if for them they feel that having a body that to them feels like the body they should have,
absolutely,
it may be to them worth sacrificing.
That's right.
You know, the ability to have children, or the ability to feel the full range of sexual pleasure.
That's right.
But that's their choice as a consenting adult.
It should be, absolutely. And I think it's beautiful that we're taking so many strides to have really clear pathways for trans people to have affirmation surgeries. But a lot of the time, the same surgeons doing those beautiful surgeries are the ones who are apt at doing surgeries on intersex children.
So if somebody wanted to read the entire Darlington Statement, where could they find that?
So it's at darlingtonstatement.org. Or else if you do want a kind of parent site, you can go to IHRA, IHRA, which is Intersex Human Rights Australia, the main advocacy body here in Oz. That's probably the best way to go.
And Melbourne Bisexual Network, I know, are signatories to the statement, and we'd encourage all our listeners to go on there, read the Darlington Statement, take it to your workplace, discuss it with your friends, with your colleagues, and definitely we'd encourage you to sign up.
Absolutely. And on that as well, you can affirm it online, so you can put down your organisation or as an individual. And I would say as well, if you're an LGBTI plus organisation that has I in the acronym and has resources about intersex people without intersex people, please get in contact with IHRA, or else you can contact me, and we can get you in contact with really amazing intersex advocates who want to get paid for work and want to educate organisations, especially social service organisations, who will have contact with an intersex person somewhere in their practice.
Because intersex people, frankly, have had enough of people just making assumptions and assuming that they know what they need and what they want.
Absolutely. Which happens a lot to us, and a lot to our bodies, and a lot to our stories. And we want to be heard. We want to have, peer-informed human services and peer-informed medical practices.
Well, thank you so much, Elise. Thank you so much for your time, for coming on the show. We're just about out of time.
We've got quite a few messages that have come through, James. Sorry, M from Carlton says, "Hi, Elise. Thanks for sharing your story. Such honesty and integrity. I don't know much about intersex, and I'm so glad to hear more." That is from the letter M in Carlton.
Thanks, M.
We also have Clario, who's asking, "Do you have any poems to share, Elise?"
No. They need a bongo drum, and just like, I need to be wearing a beret and it needs to be really dark because I'm a cliche.
I'll tell you, I think Elise might be inviting us out for drinks after this. There might
absolutely
be some poetry there, but
yeah,
Sarah,
sure.
Sarah's also texting saying, "The Bi Life is awesome, the Courtney Act Bi Life show. Pop culture smashing stereotypes. Who could resist?" So thanks, Sarah.
So if you're out there right now and maybe you're intersex, or you've recently had a child and your child may be intersex, or something along those lines, if intersex, if that's become part of your life, there's help out there. There are lots of organisations you can speak to, and you're not alone. So stick around. We're going to be going to Local Roots next for a bit of cool local Australian-made music. But that's everything we've got time for tonight. We are out of time.
Thanks, Elise. Always love seeing you.
Thank you so much, Elise.
This has been Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. My name's James.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Louis.
I'm Elise.
Thank you so much, Elise. And please come on again. I get the feeling we have barely scratched the surface.
Right.
I'm keen.
Thank you. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.